What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode 41 of NBA Unwrapped. This is Perry Aston, joined by Christian McGowan, and a special guest, my buddy Max.
What's happening?
What's going on, man? How you doing? He's been a guest on our show before. Glad to bring him back on. He actually just moved to the place with me here in LA, came back from the East Coast, used to work for the Warriors, but we're going to get into that in a little bit. Before we do, I want to remind you guys, you can listen to our podcast on podcast.com or the Apple Podcast app. You can also find us on the Pulse Podcast Network. News for them too, they just dropped an app, the Pulse Podcast Network app, so go check that out on the Apple iTunes Store. I think it's the first actual podcast network app out there.
It's pretty cool.
Check it out. And they're recruiting all podcasts for wrestling, pop culture, true crime, individual sports teams, so the whole network is getting a lot bigger. It's pretty cool. And for news on our end, we have our website that actually officially dropped today. So yay, it's finally up, unwrappedsports.com. We do have three articles on our blog site, one from Christian here, one from our buddy Mike, who has been a guest, Mike Schneed, and we also have one up from Corbin as well. So you got to go check that out. One from Mike is actually about James Harden, so that's going to segue us nicely into our first topic. Check out our Twitter at NBA Unwrapped. Check me out at Perry Aston, check Christian out at McGowan75, and Max out at Party Max. Party is with an I. Let's get into some James Harden talk. Mike said he doesn't think that James Harden is the MVP. It's his hot take. That's his article that he sent me. Spoiler alert if you haven't went and checked it out yet. But the last two games, he's definitely making his case. 58 points and 57 points. 115 points total in the last two games. There's only two players in NBA history that have put up more points in a two-game span, and that was 118 points for both of these players, and that would be Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. He's in good company. He's putting up lights out scoring, and right now the one thing that stood out to me when I heard about this stat was not one of the points was assisted on.
Crazy. Every,
I know, Max, I brought it up to you earlier. Look who's playing right now for the Houston Rockets. Capella's out. CP3's out. So for him, he has to take over the game, and he's shooting, I feel like, 25, 30 free throws a game.
But you gotta look at where they were last year and where they are this year.
Right.
We know Harden's good. He was the MVP last year, but what's really changed aside from him doing what he did the year before, which was pretty much carry the team? I don't really see any difference there. Where you take as a guy like Giannis, who's on the Bucks, and they pretty much have the exact same teams, plus a few pieces. You see, they're making the jump from what? It's like sixth into like first place. So it really all depends on where each team lands in the final standings.
Yeah, I mean, you have it right. The Bucks are in first place, so it is impressive. Giannis is having a crazy year, and it's a testament to their new coaching staff too. A lot of developments there in Milwaukee that have changed, so the culture is a little bit different there. And the Bucks are impressive. The last time we really talked about the standings, it was the Raptors that were number one, and they're still there at number two.
They're up there.
Yeah,
up
half there. a game behind. So they're right there too. And you have the Pacers, 76ers, Celtics, Heat, Nets, and the Hornets. All right, on the outside would be the Pistons and the Magic and the Wizards, all tied right around there. The East isn't looking too strong right now outside of the top five. It's 500 teams or below past that. For the West, on the other hand, it's extremely competitive throughout. Reminds me, of course, a lot like last season. Right, so it's the Warriors number one, 31 and 14. They've taken back that number one spot. The Nuggets, who are now number two, a game behind at 29 and 14. The Thunder there, 26 and 17. The crazy thing is, we're going to get into it later with the Lakers. They're the number nine seed right now at 24 and 21. The craziest thing is that they're only three games back from the number three seed Thunder. Between the three seed and the nine seed, it's separated by three games right now. Just showing how tight it is there. And just like last season, where you went through a three game skid at the end of the year and it changed you from the nine seed to the three seed, or the three seed to the six seed. It's just so up there. So seedings is just going to be another crazy race in the West. But the East, it seems like it's kind of shaping out how we all thought up at the top, with the Raptors, Bucks, Pacers, 76ers, Celtics, the same teams that have been good. We were going to move on to our next topic, which is going to be the return of Boogie Cousins to the Warriors. And Max, I want to just tell our listeners just a little bit about your time with the Warriors.
The analytics department has sort of like an analytics coordinator tracking their basic player movements with the SportView program, which is now has been transferred over to Second Spectrum, which figures out what the players like to do, what they don't like to do with and without the ball, how fast they've been running, how long they've been running, the distance they've been running, and stuff like that. But if there's anything I learned about the Warriors, it's they know how to play basketball the right way. 1 through 15, they will take a bullet for 1 through 15. That's what's surprising, like the closeness of the roster. And all I really got to say is, with Boogie Cousins coming back, it doesn't matter what kind of injury he has. He's the best center in the league. Adding him on to pretty much the best team in the league. It's basically the West is the Warriors, 50 feet of crap, and then everybody else.
No, I say that all the time. I think the Warriors are head and shoulders above every team in the league. Even when they don't try, they're still 10 points better than any team they face. When they lose, it's just statistics when they have an off night and shots don't fall. But you're not going to beat them in a 7-game series. It's impossible. Even without Boogie Cousins, it was impossible last year.
I think we're going to see Toronto doing it. I don't know why. Just could see them. If I'm being honest, I remember game one of the Western Conference Finals in 2017 when Kawhi first got injured. I remember it just working all year, and every game you sort of knew when the Warriors were about to turn it on. That game, my heart was racing. I had no idea if we were actually going to win that series. We had steamrolled through Portland, steamrolled through Utah, 4-4. This was just the first game. The one team that had our number scared the ever-living crap out of me. So I'm not going to discount Kawhi Leonard and what he can do with that roster.
So you think him, I'm not going to say alone, but his presence...
His presence alone makes the Warriors a little bit worried. Plus, they match up well.
The thing is that his road to the Warriors will be easier than anybody else.
A lot easier.
So he has a chance to get to them, and then you have to get lucky with a best of seven series compared to going through the likes of the Lakers and other top teams like the Thunder and the Nuggets.
If they're the best team in the entire league, they have home court advantage.
I want to talk about DeMarcus Cousins where we started. You just said Maxey's the best center in the league. When he's healthy, there was no doubt. And now with Joel Embiid playing the way he is and Nikola Jokic playing the way he is, and now with DeMarcus Cousins coming off an Achilles, going to have to see how he plays. But the fact that you're adding a 50% DeMarcus Cousins, for God's sake.
With no pressure.
A 50%. Yeah. It's such an upgrade to anything that they've had at the center position. And if he comes back and is just able to be more of a stretch five, maybe he's not banging in his hard down low right away when he's getting, you know, back into the game. His presence and the fact that they still have to account for DeMarcus Cousins adds such a lethal factor to this Warriors team that doesn't even need it, but is going to now add an extra layer.
It's going to be what Orlando did with Shaq. They're going to play four out, one in with Boogie. They really don't have to do anything. He's that dominant. Fun fact, he was the first center, I believe, in 16 years to score above 50 points when he dropped 55 and had like 18 rebounds. 2016? I mean, that's impressive.
By the time they get to the playoffs, he's already going to have some time to get with it, get with the team. And it's just fine. If he gets some chemistry and gets his bearings back, it's going to be absolutely scary. And we've said it on numerous podcasts, me and Christian here, and of course Corbin, who wasn't able to join us today. We said it all the time. The Warriors are the best team. They're going to repeat again right now. There's no one that's going to take them out. And then we could talk next year. We'll see what happens with free agency and everything that happens with the draft. But it's the Warriors' year again. And I think we can agree on that, no matter how great Harden is playing. It's
Warriors
and
championship to lose.
Exactly. And that's what we said. It'd have to take a serious injury or a serious suspension, something like Draymond a few years back, something like that to derail the Warriors and what they're able to do right now with Boogie Cousins coming back.
To add to your point, I really think the team that's going to beat them is going to be the Raptors. I really don't see a team out west, especially the Rockets
now.
That
could beat them or that will beat them?
I don't think there is a team yet that we can say will beat the Warriors. And I'm starting to buy onto this Kawhi is in their head theory. That would be the team to beat them. It's not going to be a team from the west.
Right. No, I like where both your heads are at. If we can talk about them dethroning the Warriors, it makes basketball a little bit more exciting. We're going to move on to next. The NBA referees, they have an official Twitter account. at official NBA refs. Probably one of the head referees that's chilling in New York offices or something like that. That's not actually on the floor.
The head referee is retiring this year. Duke's retiring.
So yeah, I was talking maybe someone that's in the offices, not actually on the courts anymore. Maybe somewhere up there. I'm sure they have a committee for referees or something like that. But someone's actually on Twitter. I've seen it for the last few weeks. And they'll actually quote it and talk about the tweet itself, talk about the play and break it all down, what the call was, or even defend the referees if people are taking shots at them. It's actually kind of funny. And now they're going to be able to interact with fans and discuss calls in real time over Twitter during select high profile games for the rest of the season starting next week. So they're going to be able to pick which games that they go in and do a complete live feed and discuss with fans, live feed what's going on in the games. I think it's cool. I mean, it's 2019. Christian, what do you think about the refs taking action on Twitter?
I see the perfect opportunity for dumb people to just get it on Twitter. I love when teams tweet back at people and they have like funny responses to what they say. I just can't wait for someone to really try to come at the NBA refs and the Twitter page just to run them through the reams.
Yeah, and I think this is hilarious. I'm on Twitter all the time. You guys know it. I run the page. Let's find a way to troll the NBA refs account. I think this would be kind of funny. If NBA Twitter is as good as it seems,
oh, it will be.
I think we can all find a way to come together, put all of our differences aside, no matter what team you root for or who you stan, quote unquote. You can all take shots at the refs together. Max, what do you think about the refs coming to Twitter?
It's kind of pointless. Who really cares?
I mean, it's 2019. I mean,
it's a way to make fun of the refs. That's really it.
I think we can find some great ways to do this online, guys. Another announcement the NBA made actually today. They're going to be televising the All-Star Game draft on February 7th.
Now, this one does not matter.
Does not matter.
This is just for ratings.
This is disrespectful.
I clump All-Star Games in together, and I just don't care.
Well, I'm going to ask you as a question off this. Do you like the new setup with the draft, where you have two guys that are leading vote-getters, and they pick their teams? Do you guys like that compared to...
I like the idea. You're voted in as a starter. You're voted in. The fans should have 25% of the say. The writers should have 25% of the say. Players should have 50% of the say. And that's just only for the draft pool. There shouldn't be a starter and then the reserves. Because reserves are picked by the coaches.
Yeah.
You got to give it to them.
I think it's too much pool with the fans. I'm seeing there's DeMarcus Cousins right now.
I remember 2 years ago, Zaza Pachulia was almost a starting center.
It's so stupid.
Even when Kobe was voted in, didn't he tell the fans, he's like, I don't deserve this?
When Michael went for his last year, he was voted in as a starter.
Of course.
And he was horrible. He was injured the majority of his last year.
Yeah.
Hell, Iverson, because of the fans, he was voted in. And then David Lee took position back in 2010.
Yeah, I think it's just funny now how it's all changed. Now it's a draft of the players. It's all televised. So
I mean,
they're just really trying to pull ratings.
The pool.
They're just trying to kind of copy with the NFL. Both of them are trying to change their all-star formats over the last
nobody cares
years.
Anymore.
No one.
They're just trying to spark it up.
In all honesty, they need to do it like the MLB used to do it, where it was the winner of the all-star game got home field advantage in the World Series. They don't do it anymore, and I think that's kind of stupid, but at least it made it worth watching and paying attention to.
At least now they are trying to make changes to the All-Star Game weekends over the last few years, because it kind of got really stupid for a while, and even if you don't like the new formats, at least they're trying out new formats.
In terms of All-Stars, they need to rework the entire All-Star Game. They need four different teams to just do like a round robin for the entire weekend.
Elaborate more on it.
I mean, you think about it. If you make an all-star team, that's sort of a bump in your pay grade.
It should be, yeah.
You could have as much hardware as you want, but if you're not an all-star, you're not getting that bump in pay raise.
Right.
Guys like Monta Ellis, like Evan Fournier, guys who can score are like borderline all-stars, but won't get in.
Lou Williams last year got snubbed. He was right there.
Yeah, but it allows them to sort of separate the mid-level players from the upper-tier players. If you get such a bump in pay raise, at least you know what you're paying for, because at the end of the day, the NBA is an entertainment entity. They're trying to draw fans.
Right.
It's easier to sell to fans when you have an all-star on the team. There's more ways to become an all-star. That's a good thing.
Speaking of changing formats here, I want you guys to go check out on the website, now that we're saying the launch, with Christian's article. It's going to be a format in college football.
Oh, yeah.
Go check that out. I already read it. It's insane, so you guys need to check it out. It's such a great first article for Christian.
But in terms of all-star games, let's just group them all together with professional sports. Every single one of them needs a change in some form or fashion. NFL, MLB.
I will say I did enjoy the home run derby this year.
We're going to move on to our next topic, Enes Kanter. I'm actually going to bring up two things with Enes Kanter. We're going to bring up the first thing. Once a week, he has a cheat day because he's on a strict diet. Posted online, eats more food than I've seen anybody. And if Corbin was here, he'd be looking at me trying to think that he'd be in consideration, because Corbin eats a weird amount. I'm talking, this dude had four different burgers with three eggs on top, and then another three separate triple burgers with like nine fries, and generally ate it all,
posted
before and after pictures.
Watch.
He does this like every week for his cheat day. Funny thing was, there was reports the next day after him posting, of course, those videos, missed practice.
Yeah, his butthole is probably wide open.
Yeah, no, straight itchy butthole, everything that he had. It's moving on to the note that we were going to touch on right now. It's actually crazy. Enes Kanter, he's Turkish. So with Turkish prosecutors are seeking an international arrest warrant for Enes Kanter, accusing him of membership in a terror organization. I did a little bit more research. Of course, Enes Kanter has been vocal about the leader of his country and how he doesn't like him, of course, and is very negative about him vocally, and didn't even go to their game that was held in London when they played the Wizards, because he was fearful for his life that if he left the country and went to London, there could be an assassination attempt on his life. It's actually insane. We're here in America, and it's not like that, of course. no matter how crazy Donald Trump is, and we could talk about his fast food delivery thing that he did for the Clemson Tigers if you guys want to.
I'm so hungry. It was so stupid,
but it's not like that. We're not fearful for our life. We can speak up all we want. We have Twitter, for God's sake, but no one's trying to come assassinate us because we talk out against Donald Trump. He's just going to do what he wants. Here, they generally think that Enes Kanter is part of a terrorist organization here in the U.S. It sounds pretty bad, but he's been vocal on Twitter. He said, the Turkish government cannot present any single piece of evidence of my wrongdoing. I don't even have a parking ticket in the U.S. True, I have always been a law-abiding citizen. He posted a video of him dunking and said, the only thing I terrorize is the rim. So I think that's hilarious.
So outlandish. You almost wonder, like, if there is some truth. Maybe it's true. Like, I don't think it is, but...
there's a terrorist on the dick.
It has nothing to do with that. Because of his support for Muhammad Giyen. Erdogan, who's the leader of Turkey, used to be his best buddy, and then he went into a self-exile in the Poconos. Kanter always tweeted his support for Giyen. Then his family disowned him. Turkey canceled his passport.
Who, Kanter?
Yeah. Basically, Erdogan's after him. That's crazy. Pretty much it.
Crazy. Obviously making these accusations to him, and he's been vocal that none of these are true, and I mean, he's making millions of dollars on the next
thing. They're not going to get an extradition.
He's got some protection, I would say, with him being
a
millionaire here. Moving on to our next topic, Chicago Bulls head coach Jim Boylan, he was the associate head coach for a few years, took over as interim head coach for Fred Hoiberg when they let go of him. He's agreed to a new deal with the franchise, increasing the salary on the remaining two seasons of his contract, 2019 and 2020. I don't really like this at all. I don't believe in the Bulls able to do this in-house. They need a guy that's going to come in, needs a guy that's going to be experienced, change the culture. He's respected, guy like Mark Jackson, something like that, where they can bring in a guy to actually come in and make a difference here in Chicago. Yes, you're doing a rebuild right now, but you need to direct this rebuild in the right way. I just don't think that they had it there in Chicago. I still don't think that they have it, and I think they need to outsource it. For me, this hire, it's safe, the safest one you can do, and you need to go out and be ballsy. What do you guys think about this hire?
Think about Mark Jackson. From my time at the Warriors, I talked to everybody about him. He clashes with management a lot. It's his way or the highway. He's not somebody you want to bring on if you're looking from synergy from top to bottom. He's going to just be that rock in the middle that's going to make everything. He's going to get things done, but it's not going to go smoothly.
If you're farming off one of your better assistants and he has promise, I mean, look at, let's go back to football, but Sean McVay was hot assistant, and eventually you're going to get the head coaching job, but it hasn't really done anything to me to inspire, rebuild, or even put them in the talks of like the Warriors and trying to get them into championship contention. He's not the guy to me when they do this. I'm happy that he's going to get paid more for the next two years, but I feel like they're going to be looking for the next head coach after that before the Bulls or anything serious.
Like, granted, he's been coaching since 1987. He's one of the head assistants for Tom Izzo on that Michigan State staff, and had his first head coaching gig at the University of Utah. Got fired after 4 years, but did okay there, and has been an assistant floating around the NBA for the majority of his career. He actually won 3 NBA championships as an assistant twice in the 90s, I think both with the Rockets.
Yeah, two with and then Rudy, one with and one under the Spurs. Coach Popovich.
Yeah, so he definitely has experience. Brego going to the Hornets from Pop's staff. You're starting to see these Spurs guys disperse and use Pop's branch knowledge out. And branch out. You're right. So we will see how this works out. Maybe they believe they have something there already. I just don't see anything great happening with the Bulls. Haven't seen anything great happening with the Bulls, and I'm just waiting to see something great happen with the Bulls at some point.
I'd like to see them bring on Becky Hammon to see what happens.
I agree. Yeah. I think the first team to jump on her.
They're going
to
do well. The problem with female coaches in the NBA is it's more about respect than anything. Like, you're dealing in a high testosterone environment. If you're going to hire a woman, you want somebody who's been there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's bad enough guys like Stan Van Gundy or Jeff Van Gundy, guys who never played professionally, and then trying to get it in, trying to get respect from the players. It's just not easy.
No, I see where
and it's
going
to be twice as, if not like 100 times as hard for a woman.
If you're a head coach in the NBA, you're going to have to command a room full of men. You're coaching in a professional
man sport.
And
if you've gotten to that level where you're in contention for a head coach gig in the NBA, you've clearly been through the ranks as one of the coaches, so you've clearly learned how to command a room, how to go about players the right way. So I have confidence, especially now in 2019. There's a little bit less testosterone, I think, floating around. Everyone's got to be careful. Everyone's got to be really soft in 2019 and be very PC.
What happens in the locker room stays in the locker room.
No, I agree, but I also disagree. I think now it's just a little bit more about me talking about the players making personal comments, anything like that to the reporters. Like, you have to be very PC. Even if you don't like having a woman around and having her be the coach, How dare you say that? Good luck with the rest of your career if you were vocal about that you don't like your woman coach and it's the first one that's taken over.
Because everything's going all analytical, you're getting a bunch of guys who are heavily involved with the team, never picked up a basketball in their life. I remember my boss with the Warriors knew all the numbers like the back of his hand. He's now with Detroit. You could tell he's never played basketball in his life. He was always the guy, he was always the manager, stuff like that. And one thing I always hear the players say a lot is like, yeah, you see the numbers, but once the game starts, you just forget the numbers and play as hard as you can.
Right.
The numbers are good to know, but they're not everything.
Right.
So no, they definitely want somebody to lead them who's been in battle before.
And that's coming from a guy who supports analytics here, Max. He gets it. And he's not. Corbin's usually the only one that talks numbers on the pod. We got Max.
He's the only one who understands the salary.
He's our salary expert. Yeah, but we're missing him today. We'll be having him next week. We're going to move on to the next subject. NBA launched an investigation on the Cavaliers signing and near immediate release of Patrick McCaw. Yeah, they did close it, and it was shown no evidence found. That was something to bring up. It was shown because they did sign him, released him right away, and now he is actually signed with the Raptors.
He's going to do well. That's why they're going to beat the Warriors. Amazing signing,
and that's the bare minimum. They get him so cheap, and at this point, he could be that one piece that helps them run through the East. I'm not saying that could be enough for them necessarily.
No, he is the singular piece to take down the Warriors.
No, you know what's funny? When I was with the Warriors, I heard that he was one. No, he was one of Jerry West's guys. Said, "Yo, I like that guy. Let's pick that guy." You know the last guy he did that with? A guy by the name of Kobe Bryant.
Wow. He hadn't said that about anybody since...
Well, I think he did Kareem Rush, who was like a good role player for the Lakers.
Kareem Rush. Oh my God. Throwback. Brandon Rush.
At 24, getting Kareem Rush?
Yeah.
In like, what was that, like 03? I mean, that's not bad. There really wasn't anybody else.
We're going to move on to our next subject. Moses Malone, the 76ers, retired the number two. Max, we were talking about the other day. You said you didn't spend actually too much time with Philly. Let's just talk about Moses Malone, though, as a player. Hall of Fame, 13-time All-Star, 82-83 NBA champ, 8-time All-NBA, 96-97 ABA All-Time Team, and 2-time All-Defensive Team, 1974-75 All-Rookie.
Wow. Don't forget the most important fact of the day. He's the first high school player ever to go directly to the NBA.
Okay.
There we go.
I love that, Max. Add that on there. So how many years did he spend officially with Philly? I know you pulled it up.
Philly, 5 years, 4 in the prime and like 1 at the end.
So he rounded off the career in Philly. It makes sense.
Yeah, San Antonio.
Now it is the late Moses Malone, so you know, rest in peace.
Yeah. But that's interesting. What's the minimum amount of years that you can play with someone to get retired? I mean,
there is no minimum.
I had this conversation with someone a few podcasts ago, and that just shows about how deep history that your franchise has.
Your impact to the franchise. Shaq's got his number retired in Miami and played 3 years.
Of course, but you have to... that goes to my point where with the Lakers and the Celtics, you consider the rafters full. You can consider so many stars up there and so many legends that have the jerseys retired up there. But then you have a team like Milwaukee or the Thunder, for example, which is going to segue us into our next topic, that they have retired Nick Collison's jersey, who spent... his 15-year career with the Sonics and Thunder. This is the first player that the Thunder have retired.
Oh, it's cool.
So, it is cool, but think about that. There is one player up in the rafters, and this is a guy that has averaged 5.9 points per game, 5.2 rebounds, and 1 assist throughout his career. Loyalty. And has won 0 rings. Yes, loyalty. Are you going to put Udonis Haslam's jersey up in the Heat?
Yeah.
Because they're not as rich of a history as the Lakers, the Celtics, some of these
loyalty
teams.
Loyalty is hard to come by these days.
But if someone stayed on the Lakers who was just a role player and put up 5 points... for 15 years, he wouldn't be.
If the franchise wanted to retire their jersey, I think it's up to the franchise.
I agree with you as well. And that's coming from two guys who've witnessed this firsthand. Yeah. I totally 0.
agree. 0.4, that should have cemented.
That's another level, though. My Lord. That's not...
We have the office on right now. When Michael Scott retires after 10 years, what does he want? He wants a giant party for them. You have to reward the workhorses. Yeah. Okay, you don't put him in the same light as Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. But if you put 15 years, even if it's on the bench, that's just your employer.
But we're talking about retiring a jersey, a number to where no one can wear it anymore. And yes, we're not going to use the Lakers as an example. We use the Milwaukee Bucks. You have a player that's on there that's averaging 5 points for a whole career. Doesn't win any rings. Doesn't make an all-star team once. You probably will get your jersey retired at a place like that. A place like Oklahoma City where they don't have anybody in the rafters. But if you're on the Celtics or the Lakers and that was your career, you're going to be respected around the town forever. You're never going to have to buy another drink because you've been on that team for 16 years.
Al Addles and Tom Meschi. Al Addles averaged 8.9 points per game in 711 games.
With who?
The Warriors.
Did he win a ring?
Well, he won a ring.
Oh, there you go. So that's it. So that's why, Tom Meschi, he's in the Raptors.
No, six years with the Warriors, 12 points per game, 8.5 rebounds.
Did he
six
win
six seasons? No.
And how many points per game?
12.9.
Man, that's another 7 points than Nick Collison's blazing five. So I'm just saying.
Six seasons, though. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sure if you look into it, he has a ring somewhere. That's the reason why. But
he's probably married.
Yeah. well, I'm not sure about that. Let's check the stats.
But yeah, Wikipedia says.
My point is just, depending on the franchise, of course, depending on how rich your history is and how many jerseys are up there in that rafters, it really depends on the quality of player that you need to be. This is going to move us into our Lakers discussion about their struggles without LeBron James, who's been out for a while with a groin injury.
You guys got duped by LaVar Ball.
What? This is all in his master plan.
This is all his master plan. Had you selected De'Aaron Fox, you would have been fine.
No, here's the thing is, Lonzo still will be better than Steph Curry. It's LaVar's plan.
According to LaVar, Lonzo can cure cancer.
Two Ball brothers away from a championship. That's all I see.
No, I just I was at the game where Kuzma scored 41. Ball was awful.
I think Max was sleeping half the game because that was the game on Twitter that was like,
in all fairness,
four
passes
that Lonzo went off on. It was that tip pass that he made.
Just make sure the Pelicans see it. Just
in all fairness, I was. They're not that interesting to watch. Once you've seen the best basketball in the world with the Warriors, everything just looks boring in comparison.
LeBron is better than any player on the Warriors, boo.
So for LeBron being out, the Lakers are 21-24 right now. They're currently at the ninth seed, 4-6 in their last 10 games.
Luke needs to walk into practice and be like, step up or get traded and walk out. His job's on the line. All the young stars outside of Kuzma and Hart, even Kuzma and Hart should feel the pressure. Every single player outside of LeBron is on the trade block, whether I'm saying it or Jeannie Buss is saying it. If you're playing like shit,
is D'Lo right now?
No, not at all. Absolutely
because he
not.
Took Mozgov with him.
Absolutely not.
Okay, that's fair.
That's why.
With LeBron James coming back, is this a team now currently at the ninth seed? Where do you project them with a healthy LeBron for the rest of the year?
I think they could go anywhere from 3-4 all the way down to 8, depending on the rest of the roster.
You don't see them bottoming out, though, and missing the playoffs?
No, I don't. This is LeBron James we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
I may not like him, but I respect his game.
I think LeBron, no matter what, will them to not be the 8 seed because that means they'll probably have to play the Warriors. I realistically, call it now, they're going to get the 7th seed and they're going to upset the Rockets in the first round.
With how James Harden's playing?
James Harden's playing well right now. At some point, what he's doing is going to fatigue him. To some degree, playing that hard is going to wear him out. The NBA playoffs is a marathon, especially when you consider how much season we have left to play. I wouldn't be surprised if he can't keep this up. James Harden needs the Rockets to step up around him because if they play a Lakers team that is more fresh than him, they're going to roll right over him in a 7-game series.
He needs his players to come back and be healthy. I mean, he doesn't have anyone right now playing. He has to force up almost 60 points a game right now for them to even have a chance. They lost an overtime game, 148-145, I believe, against the Nets, and he put up 57 points.
I just get tired reading his stat line. Like, that makes me exhausted just reading it.
Watching the videos of the debatable travels and having everyone on Twitter go off if it's a third step or not, I think it's the funniest thing in the world.
That's one of the reasons I don't think James Harden can really be MVP. Granted, it's amazing what he's doing, but right. If he's doing all this work himself, he's not elevating the players around. You gotta remember, this is basketball, not tennis. You can't do everything yourself. You want to play an individual sport? Go play golf, go play tennis. Just like that clip we all saw with LeBron, what was it, like months ago, when he was talking to that team of kids. This is not an individual sport, and you're not lifting up other players if you're doing all that work by yourself.
I think now with LeBron being out as long as he's been out, he's kind of put himself out of MVP consideration.
I agree.
That's kind of the same story for Steph Curry here. So it's really going to be between Giannis and James Harden. And you made a very good point that with the Bucks playing the way that they are and how Giannis obviously is playing, it looks like his award to win. But then James Harden's making a good case with obviously historic numbers. We can talk about it all day. At this point, I want to ask you guys who you think is a wild card outside of those two. I'm going to eliminate LeBron and Steph Curry due to injuries right now. But who do you think would be a wild card besides those two? I like that answer.
I knew when they made that trade, that was the one piece that was going to push him over. Because you think about Toronto, ever since Paul Pierce made that comment that they don't have that it guy, 6 years ago, he makes this comment. It's like, they don't have that it guy. And in all honesty, he was right. It's like, you think about that it guy is that guy who doesn't think, oh, how I can get around the wall? How can I get through the wall? With that Mamba mentality. Kemba Walker has it. Kyrie has it.
Do you not think DeRozan has it?
I never saw it. No. I never saw it.
It's not the same
vibe. It's not the same.
He's almost there.
It's not the same. Kobe has it. Dame Lillard has it.
To add to the Kawhi Leonard, they also got Danny Green. What, he's averaging 10.2 points right now, and he plays solid defense, which goes with the whole Kawhi Leonard, how we're going to beat the Warriors, and just playing really good defense, too.
He plays Spurs basketball, just like Kawhi.
Exactly. Yes. And Nurse, he's one of those guys that doesn't mess around. He started from the G League.
We talked so much.
I was about to say, me
and Christian talked so much. We had no idea who this guy was. And I remember one joke that Christian said that stuck with me. He's like, maybe if they hired Nick Doctor, this would be a different conversation. I just remember it sat with me so hard. And now this is just...
when Dwayne Casey,
we were so wrong. I just want to say that.
I felt Dwayne Casey got so raw in that. I was just talking all kinds of shit.
He did get gypped, and they're not doing 100% great in Detroit right now. I think you saw the game.
Oh, yeah, I saw that game, but that's more...
And they're on the outskirts now of the Eastern playoffs. We got one more talk that we're going to cover. We're going to do Mavericks trying to trade Dennis Smith Jr. And this isn't completely true yet. It's still up in the air because I just saw a report actually about an hour ago that I tweeted out from Shams saying that they are quote unquote trying to fix the relationship. It's been going well right now. It's been good communication between the two sides. So it looks like there's nothing that's completely happened. No trade request has officially been made. This could just be a little bit of noise right now. Because you were saying it, Max, when we were talking about it with Luka Doncic playing the way that he is. Of course, they're trying to build around him and find pieces that can play off of Luka Doncic. And maybe DSJ can't do it, but maybe he can. Right now, I want to ask you guys what you think it's going to take for a team to get Dennis Smith Jr. Or what, of course, this side is going to ask to get a player like DSJ.
Where's Dallas in the standings right now?
Dallas is right on the outskirts. They're right about 10th, I believe, right now. And it's very close at the end.
You got to remember that Dennis Smith Jr. needs the ball in his hands to be effective. Mm-hmm. They need a guy who can be effective without the ball. And that's why I'm thinking it's like, you want to go a straight-up trade? Go with Frank Ntilikina. A guy who sucks with the ball in his hand is great off the ball. And maybe a straight-up trade like that.
I think it's going to take some picks if they're going to look to unload him at all.
It's not necessarily their relationship is bad. It's just all the numbers point that when Luka and Dennis are on the court together, they just do not play well.
Right.
Having Luka on the court and Dennis on the bench has been what is working for them.
Yeah.
And if you have a top talent like that who's not necessarily not playing well, he just doesn't fit. I like what you said, a straight up trade for Frank Ntilikina. I'm glad I got his name right.
I would need more than that, in my opinion, than just Frank Ntilikina. I would need that in like a second round pick.
Because
I value Dennis Smith Jr. higher than I value Ntilikina. Even though it's different players.
Value is low. If you're going to unload someone in their situation, to get a player who fits better, I think goes away from what they need. I just think they need raw picks and they need to hit the drawing board again.
Got a guy. Centerpiece, which is good right now.
Yeah, they have Luka, but with Dennis, you figure a top 10, a 10 to 15 pick. You can draft a guy who better fits your system or you believe fits
Max's
next to
Luka. Max's point when he asked where they were in the standings, they're about 10th and they're actually within striking range of the 8 seed. If they do make a trade, it's going to be a person that's going to help them win right now. It'd be pointless to trade a piece like DSJ who could be valuable at some point or could gel at some point or you could liquefy him at some point. If you are going to turn it around right now, it's not going to be for a pick to make you in a position
it's
going to be for someone to try and go for that 8 seed. And I also saw reports or two that Harrison Barnes was teams had interest in him and they were talking about some trades. It's going to be interesting to see who moves, but I think we all have a feeling now that Mark Cuban is wheeling and dealing and I think the Mavericks are going to make a deal. I'm not sure who it's going to be with. I've heard reports that a DSJ trade is around the corner and the ones I've seen today said that it looks like they're talking, making up and everything's fine. I can't tell you that DSJ is going to be traded, but I can tell you I think that someone on the Mavs is.
I think it really says to Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban's a guy and a guy who literally won't tank. He'd rather make the playoffs or just miss the playoffs.
Sell some tickets.
Sell some tickets and then tank. I mean, last year he got Doncic and now he has a centerpiece and he'll probably find his, as he normally does, his electrons placed around his nucleus.
I love Doncic. Science class.
Yeah, I know.
There's two electrons in the first ring and four in the second.
No, but he'll get his guys to sort of build around Doncic. Nowitzki's going to retire at the end of this year or next.
Thank God. I feel so bad watching Nowitzki play. I respect him so much and what he's done with the Mavericks in his career. He's amazing. But he's so washed up right now.
Oh, I know.
People were cheering for him to make like one basket on the farewell tour wherever he was. I forgot what
it was. Boston.
Oh, so sad. Just watching him miss the last five, six
shots.
But
as a mentor.
Players coach. I totally get it, But watching him actually play, it's just Vince Carter can still get up.
Just
he's still dunking.
Him,
he's still doing his thing. Like Vince Carter, I still feel like can contribute on the Hawks right now. But Dirk, I'm just like, ah, oh, man.
He's
just
there
sit down,
for
man.
He's there for Luka. I hope he hangs up the basketball shoes next year and just goes right into coaching.
They have DeAndre Jordan. I forgot about that.
Very solid.
Who's been shooting free throws much better this year? Why can't this have happened half a decade ago?
This is a solid team. A team that can actually make a run. And you got Wes Matthews. You got Harrison Barnes. You got other veteran pieces there along with the young pieces that they have.
No, and they got a lot of expiring contracts, too.
Right.
The problem is so much money and nothing to spend it on. Because everybody's staying. In all honesty, yeah, that really does. You got to pay the wrong players.
Money's everything in the NBA.
Hey, Mozgov.
That's all we got for you guys today for episode 41 of NBA Unwrapped. This is Perry Asson joined by Max and Christian. Thank you guys so much for talking NBA with me today. Loved it, guys, as always. Want to remind you guys to listen to us on podcast.com or the Apple Podcast app. Pulse Podcast Network, check them out on Pulse Podcast Network online, or you can check them on the App Store, Apple App Store. Go check them out, and go check out unwrappedsports.com. Finally, guys, so excited. Cannot even talk about excited. I am. Dad Straight Up, his website team helped us out for his marketing firm. Wanted to shout at them out. If you write articles, if you want to get your name out there, come contribute to us. Hit me up, send me some articles. Mike put one up, Christian put one up, Corbin put one up. We have other people sending them in right now. So excited, and the website looks absolutely beautiful. So I need you guys to go check that out. And of course, keep going at it on Twitter for us at NBA Unwrapped. You can follow me on Twitter at Perry Asson. Follow Christian on Twitter at McGowan75 and Max on Twitter at Party Max. Party is with an I. Thank you so much again, Max, for joining us. Like I said, he moved here from the East Coast, living with your boy now, so he's going to be on a lot more episodes.
It feels good to have someone, not that Perry and I aren't accredited in basketball, but someone that has like an actual resume in the sport, so I'm very happy to have you.
Yeah, I mean, of course, working for the Warriors, he has a ring.
We have rings.
He won't shut up about it on future podcasts, and when we start videotaping, I'm sure he'll be flashing it all the time, but yes, Max is a guy with extensive basketball background, and we're so happy to have him here. Of course, part of the Unwrapped family by association, coming and moving in, and I love it.
He moved into the Unwrapped headquarters.
And he brought a beautiful blue mic that we're recording on today. So again, thank you, Max, for that too. Thank you guys again for listening to episode 41 of NBA Unwrapped, and we're going to catch you guys next time.
Have a good night.